നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്മയാ ഇതരദ അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാണ് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാന്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭി കാപി കാവി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദംവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം ഗുജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So we were going to start discussing the 13th chapter of Canto 11, isn't it? That's where we are, right? So this 13th chapter is an important chapter in the 11th canto. In Ekadasha Skandam, this 13th chapter is considered to be a very, very important chapter. Because this Hamsa Vidya or Hamsa Yogam, as it's called, is what requires to change in our understanding that the separation between the soul and the body, it comes to a perfectional stage through Hamsa Yogam. Comes to a perfectional stage through Hamsa Yogam. That's the beauty of the Hamsa Vidya. Now, one important thing here is that in order to understand, it's a very difficult chapter also in the Bhagavadam. And normally number 13 is considered to be inauspicious, isn't it? In the West, it's considered to be inauspicious. But according to Vedic philosophy, 13 is a very auspicious number. Like Lord Nityananda appeared on 13th day, Trayodashi. Nityananda Trayodashi it's called. So similarly, here, this chapter 13 is an important chapter. And it's kept as one of the secrets, confidential topics of the Bhagavadam in this 13th chapter. The importance is this, that the in the chapter 13, what you will see there is the Krishna's explanations to the four Kumaras. Who are these four Kumaras? They are the Manasa Putras. They were born from the mind of Lord Brahma. And these four Kumaras are considered to be authorities on the path of knowledge, Jnana Margam. So they were enlightened with these instructions from Krishna in Brahmalokam when they had to discuss this topic. So it is an important topic, and Krishna's logics and reasoning will come forth in this chapter very well. But in order to understand this chapter, it is important that we understand the chapters 10, 11 and 12 very well. Because without understanding these three chapters, chapter 13 won't be properly understood. This is also another difficulty. That chapter 13 is very much dependent on the first three chapters, which is 10, 11 and 12. As I mentioned before, 10 and 11 is the major instructions from Krishna to Uddhava. It begins like that, with 10 and 11, isn't it? If you remember that, therefore, detailed understanding of 10 and 11 is important in order to understand chapter 13. In the chapter 12, Krishna talked about satsangam, isn't it? He talked about satsangam. When Uddhava, how Krishna brought Uddhava to that stage eventually and spoke about satsangam. If you really look at it this way, you can see what happened between Krishna and Arjuna was satsangam. What happened between Krishna and Uddhava was satsangam. So everywhere it is satsangam that Krishna is talking about. But in particularly in the 12th chapter, Krishna gave a lot of importance to satsangam and gave us innumerable examples to prove to us that there is nothing higher than satsangam. There is nothing higher than satsangam. So after coming to that stage, if you hear about this 13th chapter, if you have understood the 11th and 12th properly, 10th, 11th and 12th, then 13th chapter will be easier to follow. So satsanga means, what does satsanga means? We also have to know that. Satsanga means sangam with Krishna, isn't it? Sangam with Krishna is satsangam. Sat means Krishna. Sat is also the soul, isn't it? Soul is the eternal thing. So connection with Krishna, you can call Krishna or Alma or Ishwara or Bhagavan or Brahman, whatever name you want to call it. It is the same absolute truth. So connection with that absolute truth is called satsangam. So wherever one experiences anubhuti. Anubhuti is the word used in the Shastram. The anubhuti means that you are experiencing with the soul. When you are experiencing with the soul, it is called anubhuti. So wherever there is anubhuti, there is satsangam. That is the proof of satsangam. There should not be any dussangam. Dussangam means association with the bad elements also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, where is it spoken? It is spoken, if you remember the story of King Muchukunda. Muchukunda was there in a cave sleeping. He went to the heavenly planets to fight the war with the demigods. And after the war was over, Muchukunda asked for a boon from the demigods. And the first boon he asked was for liberation. So the demigods told him that liberation cannot be offered. We don't have the authority to do that. We don't have the capacity to do that. Eventually, Muchukunda thought, you can't offer anything to me. What I want, you can't offer. So at least offer me one boon that I can go and sleep peacefully somewhere for a long period of time. He was tired after fighting this long war in the heavenly planet. So Muchukunda came down with that blessing to this planet. And when he went to sleep, he found a good place to sleep also in a cave. And Krishna, this story is there in the Bhagavatam, you can read it, that Krishna was, Kalayavana was chasing Krishna, and Krishna ran into this cave, Kalayavana followed him, and Kalayavana kicked Muchukunda by mistake, without knowing who, somebody was sleeping there. In that process, Muchukunda woke up, and as soon as he woke up, whenever he opened his eyes, the person right in front of him was Kalayavana, who was turned into ashes. And Krishna was standing next behind, side by that. So when Muchukunda saw Kalayavana turned into ashes and Krishna standing there, Muchukunda spoke to Krishna. If you look into Muchukunda Stuti in the Bhagavatam, you will see there, Bhavava vargo bhramado yada bhave janasya tarhi achyuta salsamagama salsangamo yarhi tadaiva salgado paravareshi tui jayate mati. There is a verse like in the Muchukunda's glorification of Krishna. Muchukunda says to Krishna, Bhavava vargo bhramado yada bhave janasya tarhi achyuta salsamagamam. That means that bhavava vargam, that means liberation is available for someone. Brahmado yadha bhave, that one who has gone through the cycle of birth and death so many times, one who has passed through this, janasya tar achyudasal samagame, that when he gets an opportunity to come to contact with Krishna, it was then that the possibility of liberation happens in his life. Otherwise, that chance doesn't happen. And how will that happen? Sal sangamo yarhi tadai vasalgadau. That will only happen through salsangam. So, satsangam is the key to come to contact with Krishna. And when one comes to contact with Krishna, he gets released from the cycle of birth and death. Satsangamo yarhita daiva salgado paravaresha tui jayate mati. The result of that was paravaresha tui jayate mati. That somehow or the other, our mind will get absorbed in Krishna, in the soul. In other words, that spiritual advancement happens. At that point, he gets released. So, Muchukunda spoke about this satsangam earlier. And what does this satsangam mean? That satsangam means that anytime, whatever you are seeing in this world, if your attention is always on the objects in this world, it is called samsaram, material existence. Material existence means, the definition of material existence is like this. If all the time, all the senses are absorbed in contacting with the sense objects in this world and busy with the sense objects, it's called material existence. Material existence. Because material existence happens when the senses comes into contact. And all the senses are able to come to contact with the sense objects. When you are not in contact with the sense objects, when you are in contact with something which you cannot see by senses, experience by senses, that is called a satsangam. Satsangam's definition is like that. That through your senses, if you are able to contact with anything in this world, and if your senses are busy with that, that is samsaram. It is called samsaram in Shastram. And at the same time, if your consciousness is absorbed in something which you cannot see, which you cannot perceive with the senses, that is known as satsangam. That is known as satsangam. So, we discussed this before. Whatever you see in this world, it's called pratiti. Isn't it? It's called pratiti. For example, we can see things, we can touch things, we can taste things, we can smell things, and we can hear about things. All the five senses in action. So whatever the senses are bringing back to us, that is known as pratiti. It is the shastric, or you can say perception. That is called perception. It is not anubhavam. It is not experience. Anubhavam is that thing which is you are continuously experiencing without any break. Continuously experiencing and which cannot be broken in spite of what happens to senses or not. Whatever happens to senses. For example, all the senses are closed down. No senses are operating. And the body also is not able to function, or if even parts of the body has broken away, still you are conscious of your existence in this, isn't it? Your own existence, you are always conscious of that. Aham asmi, I exist. So aham cannot be taken away from anybody. It is not possible. That is what we are. We are that. So because of it is identity with the soul is so strong in the form of experience or in the form of anubhavam. So the nature of the sat, sat is, the nature of the sat is anubhavam. And the nature of pratidhi is to see things, is to see things. When we say see things means you can see things through the eyes, any object in this world. For example, this chair, I am seeing through my eyes. I can, if somebody moves this chair, it's again hearing the movement of the chair. That is also a pratiti, a something what you experience through the senses. Somebody, if you want to know, you can touch him and feel his presence here. In other words, the basic difference between anubhavam and pratiti is, in pratiti, senses will be involved. In anubhavam, senses don't have to be there. In the absence of senses itself, you can know what is I am, what I am, isn't it? I am, that is always, it is shining inside, and knowledge is shining from the soul. So, anubhuti, you cannot experience by the senses or by the mind. You cannot know that, anubhuti. That is why it's called anubhuti. Anubhuti is the nature of the soul, and the nature of the soul which gives to us is this reality that I am always existing. My existence is the reality. So, from this point you can see here that the important thing of this anubhavam or experience, what we are experiencing through the soul, is much more important than the pratiti. Pratiti is not important. Pratiti is only as long as the senses are operating, we are experiencing the presence of the various objects in this world. Now, various objects in the world, they are important, but not in relationship with the soul. In relationship with the soul, they are not important. So that is why this differentiation or between anubhavam and pratiti is important. Because if we do not differentiate, between anubhavam and pratiti, we will get misled. Pratiti will take over and anubhavam will be forgotten. And that is what has happened to us. All of us, what has happened is, anubhavam we have forgotten and pratiti has become an important thing for us. Krishna is saying to us, pratiti is not important, anubhavam is important, which is the presence of the soul. Now, this thing called... if you go for a satsangam, if you go in a satsangam, therefore, because of this, if you go in a satsangam, seeing is not important. Hearing is not important. Tasting, if suppose somebody brought here a lot of prasadam and you have given some prasadam, that doesn't become satsangam. It's not satsangam. Even tasting some prasadam is not satsangam. Suppose there was a lot of flowers here brought in and we gave to everybody one nice flower to smell. That doesn't become satsangam. So neither hearing, neither seeing, nor hearing, nor smelling, nor tasting, nor even if you touch somebody and think that, oh, you are making some spiritual progress. So suppose some Mahatma came here If you touch Mahatma's feet and you think that you have done satsangam, no. Shastra is saying satsangam is none of this. Then what is satsangam? Satsangam is that thing when while hearing about the soul, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or the discussion about the soul, if at least for a moment, if your attention is shifted from the sense and sense objects or the external world to the soul, and you are situated on the spiritual platform and identification with the soul, even for a moment, that is satsangam. That is satsangam. So satsangam, you can see, it only becomes a satsangam when while hearing Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if your attention moves away from the external world, goes inwards and finds some relationship with your soul, individual soul, which you are actually. So, in other words, at least for some time, a self-realization happens at that point. That is called a satsangam. Nothing else is accepted as satsangam. So sometimes people misunderstand that they think that, oh, I've gone to that place, they were reading Srimad Bhagavatam there, I heard some katha there. And then after that they were giving nice prasadam, so I took some good prasadam and I came home. Satsangam has not happened there. Satsangam has not happened there. That is why even after hearing whole life Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing has happened. Because this is what we were doing all the time. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Ekadasha Skandam, it's only satsangam through Ekadasha means also on a highest platform, because what is spoken in Ekadasha, what Krishna has spoken, is so important that is nothing else discussed except the soul. Nothing else discussed except the soul. Krishna doesn't want to talk about anything else. And in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami will say to Parikshit, all these stories I have spoken, all the history of all these great personalities, the kings, everything, there was only one goal behind it. Just to bring you to the platform of the soul, to wake you up from the bodily identity to the spiritual identity. So if spiritual realization does not happen in a satsangam, at least for some time, it won't stay forever, because only while hearing about the truth, while hearing about the absolute truth, at least at that point, our attention should move away from the world to the soul. From the world to the soul. It is important, and that alone is called satsangam. That's the only thing what is called satsangam. When the attention moves away from the world to the soul, which we are by nature, our true identity is the soul, then it is called a satsangam. So, and what is required here, that you may hear so many things, but what is required for satsangam, what is required is what is known in Shastram as Shraddha. Shraddha. Shraddha is the one that causes satsangam, nothing else. Because the influence of the mind and the influence of the senses on everyone is very, very strong. So, Krishna says, this power of Shraddha, that happens, this thing happens when the Shraddha is strong, and that Shraddha is not one's own creation. The Shraddha comes from Kripa, that is Krishna's mercy it is. That when our mind is continuously turbulent with various thoughts coming through back and forth, the Shraddha will get to the minimum. There won't be enough Shraddha. But when the mind, if in satsangam, if the mind settles down and the mind does not disturb you and the mind is in a peaceful state, only then the attention will be shifted from the world to the soul. So therefore, Shraddha is called Kripa. Krishna's Kripa is the Shraddha. Or the Shraddha seriousness, what one experiences. So you can see from this that satsangam is not a class. It's not a class. Class is somewhere somebody comes and lectures something, you make notes, you take it home, and then you thinking that afterwards I will remember everything, I will go through it and study it and then become realized or understand it. This is the biggest problem in spiritual life. Even after repeating this so many times, the point is not getting through. Many people are still thinking, I cannot comprehend this, what you have said in the class. I got an email from somebody. says, I cannot comprehend it. In other words, again applying the mind and intelligence to understand the soul. Biggest mistake. Soul can never be understood with the mind. Edo vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Mind, intelligence and all has withdrawn before we talk about the soul. Why we have words? It cannot reach the soul. Aprapya manasa saha. Mind also cannot touch it. So it is pointless to trying to understand. Understand means what? You are trying to bring it under your limit of the mind, isn't it? You want to bring it under the control of the mind, in other words. So when somebody is trying to do that, trying to bring things under the control of the mind, you will not get it. This knowledge of the soul or self-realization will not happen to a person who is trying to bring it under the control of the mind and intelligence. So many people will say, sometimes after hearing so much, they will still say, well, I could not fully understand what you are saying. Because they are trying to understand this. If you try to understand something, then what will happen is it will never be understood. And one thing. Secondly, it can never be understood by the mind and the intelligence. It has to happen inside, that shift from the matter to the soul. And that will only happen when you focus on Krishna's words and through Krishna's mercy. There is no other factor involved in that. And some people it may happen early, some people it may happen later. That is why people of great intelligence also, they fail when it comes to this point, because intelligence is a block for them. They are used to analyzing everything through their intelligence. And if you start applying intelligence like the mind, it will fail. It won't work. So this is the ample proof for that. Intelligence also withdraws. Mind withdraws from this. The only thing is Krishna's mercy alone works. Krishna's mercy alone works. So the first thing is that not to try to understand with the mind and the intelligence. We should, when we sit in a satsangam to hear about Ekadasi Skandam or Bhagavad Gita, anything for that matter, we should not try to understand things. We should not try to understand. You will not understand it. Because what is the reason for that? To understand things, first thing what is required in the Vedanta Shastram, it will say Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi should be there. That is the primary qualification for getting the things through inside quickly. Because we don't have the Chitta Shuddhi or the purity inside, no matter, all we are trying to do is to try to capture things through our mind and intelligence. Information collection. In other words, keep on collecting information and store it up, thinking that at old age after retirement, I will take it up and start thinking, this is not spiritual life. This is not spiritual life. Therefore, that is rejected straight away. Not to think in that direction of mind and intelligence. That is why Shravanam is such an important process. When we hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, what is most important is how much attention we have given to it, and how controlled the mind is, not disturbing us in that way, and the Shraddha inside. It has to happen right now, today, here. It cannot wait for tomorrow. It's not something you can store up and study tomorrow, or studying books later, or analyze it later and see whether it is correct or not, and then come to a conclusion, like we all think about other things in this world. We take it home, we make notes, we take it home, we read through it later, and we check it out whether we make sense or not, and then you will accept it. No, that is not the spiritual process. Spiritual process is right now here. When we are discussing about the soul, immediately the effect should be there inside. That we should experience that the shift must happen from the, at least for the moment while listening, that the attention should go from the matter to the soul. And we should experience that within. Although it may not be total in experience, but the fact remains there that the identification with the soul is important. Even before, it has to happen right now here. Otherwise all this has no meaning. Otherwise all this has no meaning. Why? Because this soul is not something you have to bring from outside. It's already there inside. It's already there inside. If it has to come from outside tomorrow, it can leave you also tomorrow. Isn't it? If your self-realization is soul, realization of the soul, If it is something that has to come from outside after many years of practice and realizations and all that, then the way it has come, it can leave you also tomorrow. But acharyas are telling us, this is one thing that never leaves you. This one thing called the soul, because you are that. You are that. So where is the question of leaving? That is what we are. What has happened is, over the long journey we had through different bodies and different species, when we came through, we acquired a lot of vasanas from different bodies and activities, and that's covering the whole thing. Our original identity as the soul. That is what has happened. So what is happening is, through bhakti process, sadhana bhakti, what we are trying to do is to remove that thing so that what is already inside can manifest in its pure form as the soul. So, so what we already have got within us, all what is required is to give attention to it. That's all it is. Spiritual life is not that complicated as we make of it. We think that, oh, I have to stand for 20 years, 64 rounds, and then after that, what will happen? I don't know. My rounds are not doing very well. And so many concerns we have in life, in our sadhana also, isn't it? Every day when you wake up, you are frightened. Oh, have I done my sadhana today? And in the evening when you go back, most of the time when you realize, you are frightened. Sometimes you have not done anything. Whole day you have been busy with all nonsense in the world. So then you start worrying about it. And sometimes for days together it may not happen. Due to some prarabdham or the other, something was going on. But Krishna says there, this is not right, because things will happen based on the body, because body belongs to material nature. Body belongs to material nature. Body will bring so many problems in life, one way or the other. Sometimes one day body will drop dead also. We did not come to us. We didn't ask for it. It came to us, isn't it? We didn't ask for this body to come. It came. When it came, we didn't know how from that small size it started growing bigger and bigger every day. And it didn't ask us when it was growing. With our permission, it didn't grow. And in the process of growth, so many things happened. The body got so many illnesses. Sometimes it had so much sense enjoyment. And sometimes it had a lot of distress also. All these things were happening, we had no freedom to do anything. And eventually, one day, the body will leave you also without asking you. It won't take your permission. Can I go now? Body won't ask anything like that. And because it is like that, Krishna says that any identification with something which has come to you without asking you, you are going to be in trouble. That is not, you have nothing to do with it. So that's the first thing Krishna is making out there. That the identification with the body will cause problems one day or the other. So here Krishna says that the body, you have to know its limitations. Just like in medical science, they keep on, the dead bodies they collect, isn't it, the doctors, and they keep on working on this. Krishna says that is only the remnants. The person has gone, he has left some remnants there. That is this material body. And you are working on that material body, dead body, trying to do your research work on that. Is there anything more foolish than that? This is the point. That the person who used to have that body, that is only his remnants, what he has left there. He has gone. Person has gone. And on these remnants we are working. Whole day research is going on. What to do with this research. So this is why it can never be perfect. The science, medical science, can never be perfect. It's not possible. You can go on researching and experimenting. What to talk about the body? Even in the Vedas, part of it is not perfect. Which part? Upangam they are calling. Upangam means there are 6 sub-branches of the Vedas. If you study the Vedic literature, 14 mentioned there. 4 plus 6 plus 4. That 4 are the Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam. Then the 6 Upangams they are called, even they are not perfect. Jyotisham, Niryuktam, Kalpam, Vyakaranam, Chandas. And there is one more in there. They are all mentioned as imperfect. They are all imperfect. They can never be perfect. The only thing that is perfect in this whole thing is the science of the soul. Nothing else. only thing according to Vedic philosophy that is perfect is the science of the soul, Atmavidya, it is referred to. So all the other things are imperfect. Just like medical science is imperfect, science is imperfect. Everything will remain imperfect. It will never achieve perfection. That is the difference between the science of the soul, Atmavidya or Brahmavidya, as it is referred to, and the other sciences. Atmavidya or Brahmavidya, that's the only perfect science which is perfect. Everything else is imperfect. Including the Karmakandam of the Vedas is imperfect. Including the Karmakandam of the Vedas is imperfect. So to such an extent, imperfection exists in everything in this creation. To such an extent, imperfection exists in everything in this creation. This is the reason in Upanishads, particularly Ishopanishad, when it begins, while referring to the soul, what is the definition? Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. Why is it said like that? Because this is one thing, the soul, which is Purnam. In other words, perfect. That is why it is perfect in all situations, all time, under all circumstances, soul is perfect. That is the beauty of the soul. So, why Upanishad starts with this mantra for this reason, that the discussion about the soul is satsangam. Is satsangam. So, when you discuss about the perfect thing, which is the soul, only then it becomes satsangam. Otherwise, it is not satsangam. So, satsangam's importance, Krishna has spoken before. So, that is the type of satsangam which has helped Dharmavyada, Kubja, so many, Vibhishana, Prahlada, Dromaraj, and many others listed in the Bhagavadam. They went back to the spiritual world simply by satsangam. And this is that satsangam what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is not talking about satsangam that Prahlada and others went and sat in the class for so many hours or attended so many seminars or and did a lot of courses, whatever that is we talk about today. That is not satsangam. That will never come to the rich state of satsangam. Satsangam only happens when that you have to decide yourself, does this happen to me while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? That this attention, my Shraddha, moves away from the body and the matter towards the soul. And when attention is towards the soul, even for a second, if that happens, Krishna says the satsangam has worked. Otherwise, satsangam has not worked. This is the way it is spoken. So here in the Bhagavatam, we were discussing this before, that Krishna also mentions this. Krishna mentions so many things in the Bhagavatam, but we don't understand it the way what Krishna was trying to tell us sometimes. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmam, Susukham, Kartum Avyayam. He says, Rajavidya, this king of knowledge, confidential knowledge, is very confidential, he says. Rajavidya is king of knowledge and it is highly confidential as well. And then he is going to tell everybody this confidential thing. So people ask this question, why is it so confidential? If it is so confidential, he is telling everyone. Not only that, we are now printing and distributing all over the world this confidential knowledge. There is no one who hasn't got a book yet. So if it is so confidential, why is it like this? It's spoken like that. That's what we have to know. Why is it confidential when Krishna says it is confidential? From Vedic point of view, anything is confidential when you have not experienced it. You see? Because we are not, it is still a confidential thing for us. That is what Krishna's confidential means. Krishna's confidential, that is because we are trying to catch it through our mind. And we think we have got it. Krishna says you haven't got anything. You have got nothing actually. That is why he is calling it still confidential. Because you are not getting it. Therefore it is confidential. So satsangam, what actually it does is, it makes that real thing, the confidential thing has to come. In life, in our own life it should come. So therefore, the same thing what Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna says to Uddhava also in the 12th chapter. If you look at the end of the 12th chapter, what did Krishna say? Not in the 12th chapter or 11th chapter. Sorry, 11th chapter. Krishna says to 49 verse. If you want to look into your Bhagavatam, verse 49 in the 11th chapter. Krishna says to Uddhava, Adhaidat paramam guhyam shrunvato yadunandana sugopyam abhivakshyami tumme brithya suhral sakaham. A very bold statement from Krishna. Very bold. Krishna says, Adhaidal paramam guhyam. I'll tell you something very confidential, he says to Uddhava. What is that? Shrunato yadunandana. Hear this from me, he says. Sugopyam. It is so confidential. Again he says. First he has said paramam guhyam, very confidential. Then he says, it's more than confidential, he says to him. Sugopyam abhivakshyami. I'll tell you now. Why? Tome brityu suhral sakha. You are my servant. You are my friend. You are my associate. Brityu suhrat sakha. Everything. You are because everything for me. I will tell you this confidential thing. And he is going to tell the confidential thing to Uddhava in the next chapter. So from there you can see in the 11th chapter itself, when Krishna spoke about confidential, we have to understand what is confidential means. The science of the soul, experience of the soul, we still don't have. And because we don't have it, it is confidential for us, as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna says, you can take it and do whatever you like, this confidential knowledge. It will not have any effect on the soul. Soul is completely independent. So, adhaidal paramam guhyam shrunado yadunandana sugopyam abhivakshyami tome brati suhrat sakha. So, suhrat sakha, because you are so close to me, Krishna says, I will reveal this understanding to you. Now, that is one thing. Secondly, Krishna also said something else. What is that? He says, you should not instruct this knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Krishna will mention this. What does he say? He says, you shouldn't instruction to this knowledge to those who are envious. Isn't it? You have read that verse? In the Bhagavad Gita, it's there. In the Bhagavadam also, it is there at the end of Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna will say to Uddhava, Uddhava, this you should not instruct to anyone who is envious. Same thing Krishna says to Arjuna also. Now we start thinking, what is this enviousness about? We are not envious about anybody. At least we think like that. We are not envious of anyone. So is that somebody has got a lot of money that I am envious of him? Maybe because of that Krishna doesn't want to tell me this thing. Or I think that, oh, somebody has got a big position in this world. He is doing very well. So am I envious of him? Is that because that Krishna doesn't want to tell me? No, nothing of this sort. Actually, none of them has anything to do with it. What Krishna is saying there is that the enviousness is not towards a person. Enviousness is towards knowledge. If you are envious of the knowledge what Krishna is giving, and if your mind is resisting to accept it and finding resistance from inside to accept it, thinking that with your mind and intelligence you will analyze it and judge it or scrutinize it, then you are envious. That's the point. If you are thinking that through your mind and intelligence, you will judge these instructions what Krishna has given and trying to capture it, then you are envious, you won't understand it, Krishna says there. That is what that enviousness means. Enviousness is not of a person. Enviousness is this thing. That in our own, because we have developed this mentality in us for a very, very long period of time through our so-called education and our great science, what has made us to always accept things after proper analysis. So this knowledge, Krishna says, don't try with that game on this. It will not work. Because as soon as you start trying to evaluate something, what Krishna has spoken, through your mind and intelligence, Krishna is saying that you are envious. You are an envious person. Instead of, because the way to approach the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam is that one is free from this disease of enviousness. Therefore, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna mentions this at the very end, isn't it? And in the same thing, Adambaya, Avinidaya, these are the words Krishna uses there in the Bhagavatam. That is the word Krishna has used. Avinidaya, one who has no humility. One who is thinking that his intelligence is superior. One who is thinking his mind is capable of understanding this, they will never understand, Krishna says. They will never understand. Because as you see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken about the soul and the greatness of the soul. Isn't it? Whole of second chapter, you see that. Krishna is talking about the greatness of the soul. How amazing thing soul is. And that amazing thing we are trying to capture with the mind and the intelligence. Is there anything more ridiculous than that? That's the point. There's nothing more ridiculous because we don't know our limitations and we are trying to understand the absolute truth through the process of mind and intelligence. Krishna wants us to leave that behind. So that is why Krishna says like that. In the Bhagavad Gita also, because of this reason only, that Krishna says there that the understanding first the soul is important. It is important. Otherwise, what will happen is that side by side, along with practicing our execution of spiritual life, sadhana bhakti, this cultivation of spiritual knowledge discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is important. Why? It is important because when we misunderstand things, the only solution is to go back to Krishna's instructions to find the correct understanding of things. As I mentioned before, in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while discussing about bhakti, Krishna has safeguarded certain things very carefully. Very carefully Krishna has spoken those things. And there is very strong reasons for that. If you look into the 12th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna says the qualifications of a devotee. Isn't it? Advaishta sarvabhudanam, maitra karuna evaja, nirmamo nirahangara, samadukha sugakshami, sandushta sadadam yogi, yadalma drada nishchaya, mai arpidamano buddhir, yomal bhakta same priyaha. Yasma no dujade logo, loga no dujade jaya, harsha marsha bhayo duage, muktoya sajame priyaha. There's about 8 or 10 verses. One after the other, Krishna talks about a devotee. Who is a devotee? Krishna is saying there. And in those verses, if you look carefully, there is not one reference to anything outside the person, outside external world. External world, Krishna has not given any importance in those verses. How you are dressed, how you are walking, how you are living, none of those things are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. None of those things are discussed at all in the Bhagavad Gita. Whether you have got a tilak on or you don't have a tilak, whether you are wearing dhoti or sari material, whether you are actually going to the temple every day or not, not mentioned there. Krishna has not said anywhere there, you should go to temple every day. Not mentioned at all. He has not even mentioned there that you should wear dhoti. He has not mentioned there you have to put a tilak on. You shouldn't see about the shikha either. Nothing is mentioned there. And he says, that has nothing to do with the devotee, he says. They are there for various other reasons. That's another thing. But important thing to look into Bhagavad Gita is this. Why Krishna only spoke about the inside, what his nature is, the internal nature of a person. That is Advaishtam. He has no enmity towards anyone. Maitra, friendship to everybody, Maitri. Karuna, Evacha, always compassionate to other living entities. A number of qualities Krishna has mentioned there in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, the reason why Krishna did is that external things anybody can imitate. Isn't it? Anyone can put on a shikha, put on a tilak, put on a dhoti and hold a beads bag in the neck and say, I'm a devotee. That's possible. Anybody can do that. Doesn't require. Knowing very well, Krishna didn't want those things to be spoken about a devotee. He wanted, if these qualities are inside a person, he is a devotee. If somebody, instead of imitating the things outside, if somebody imitates these things, it is good. Doesn't matter, Krishna says, because eventually he will develop these qualities, even through imitation. Even if he imitates these qualities, In the beginning, it could be an imitation, isn't it? He will eventually become humble inside, and this freedom from anger and all the other good qualities Krishna has spoken about, arsham, arsha, amarsha, bhayam, udvegam, all these things, bhaktaya samame priya, he will say, is dear to me. So, if by imitation at least, if these qualities develop in a person, Krishna says there is nothing wrong in that. At least let it develop in a person. So, Krishna's point is, these qualities are important as a devotee is concerned. Nothing else. These are important things. Number one. Number two, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see they are mentioned about the qualities. 26 qualities comes from Bhagavatam, isn't it? Kripalu agardadroha tadikshu sarvadehinam. It begins like that. All again, exactly like in the Bhagavad Gita, reference to qualities. Nothing else. Mentioned there also, reference to qualities. So, qualities is that makes a devotee. It is not all the external appearance and how much money he is making and all other things has no significance as far as Krishna is concerned. So, having said that, Krishna says that does not reject sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is important because sadhana bhakti is the process through which that chitta shuddhi happens. The purification happens and this quality will eventually must develop in a person provided the sadhana bhakti is executed with proper understanding. Chitta shuddhi inside. If chitta shuddhi is the goal or purification of inside is the goal, and if one executes sadhana bhakti in that way, then it will purify him. Provided, along with that, there are other so many conditions set with that, with sadhana bhakti. We have to take into account all of them. They all have some important bearing on the result. First thing is execution of sadhana bhakti with the proper understanding for what purpose it's being done. Only for the purpose of purification of inside. Secondly, karmanushtanam. Whatever karmam he is executing in this world is executed without any expectation of results or freedom from the thought of I am the doer or with the result expectation of results particularly. I am the benefactor or the results from that should come to me. Second one. Third one, Krishna says, even while executing sadhana bhakti, the nine processes that is discussed in the Bhagavadam, Shravanam onward, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, the nine processes of devotional service also, if they are executed with any other motive except self-realization, if they are executed with any other motive, then also it won't work. Because normally the tendency in most of the people is always in the bhakti process is as soon as some distress comes in life, all our bhakti goes in that direction to solve the distress straight away. And then if the distress is not resolved, immediately we say to Krishna that I have served you so long, for so many years I have done so much and you have given me this distress. So that means from the very beginning, it has been a business transaction. Krishna says that sadhana bhakti won't help. So Uddesha Shuddhi it is called. In other words, sadhana bhakti executed with the whole purpose of purification inside, knowing very well that there is so much impurities inside and we require that purification. If it is executed in that way, Krishna says sadhana bhakti will eventually bring that result of purity inside, the necessary purity inside. So many things Krishna has spoken about that. That. So, sadhana bhakti and the next one Krishna talked about is parabhakti, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, how it is spoken is, Brahma Buddha Prasannatma Nasho Jadi Nakangshadi Sama Sarveshu Budeshu Madbhaktim Lebhade Param, Krishna says. So, proper bhakti, Krishna is concerned, begins after the Brahma Buddha stage. Isn't it? After the Brahma Buddha stage, Krishna is talking about bhakti. And it is that bhakti Krishna has given importance in the Bhagavad Gita. Sadhana bhakti, to preach sadhana bhakti, there are so many other literature. Bhagavad Gita did not take that upon themselves. Bhagavad Gita mentioned that after this parabhakti, Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Krishna says it is in that parabhakti stage, after passing through the sadhana bhakti, passing through the Brahman realization, comes to the Parabhakti stage, and it is through Parabhakti Krishna says, Tadomam tatado jnatva, he will know me in truth who I am, who Krishna is. So, knowing Krishna and realizing Krishna doesn't happen overnight. It is a long way to travel through before we get to that point. We are misunderstood sometimes, that we are thinking that I have done this ranting, I have done this so many things, but whether we have gone through these stages of the realization of the self and the pure devotion, what Krishna says there, tadomam tatvado jnatva, that he will know the tattvam at that point and then he can enter into me. Vishade tadanandaram. After that he can enter into me. So, Krishna is not accessible as we think it is accessible through, you have to go through this sadhana bhakti stage and then through the process of self-realization, Brahma Buddha stage, Aham Brahmasmi stage, and then the pure bhakti, parabhakti comes to a person. So, these things are explained in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, if you look into Bhagavadam also, that what is that happens in us at that time? What happens to us in this journey through sadhana bhakti, Brahman realization and parabhakti state? What happens to us? This is an important question. In the sadhana bhakti stage, we are almost all the time absorbed in the sadhana. Isn't it? Absorbed in the sadhana, which is known as upasana. You call it as upasana or sadhana, whichever way you call it. So, upasana stage you are going through, and at some point in time, the attention is shifted from upasana to the person who is performing upasana. Upasakan, he is called upasaka, one who is doing the upasaka. So, when the attention moves away from upasana to the person who is performing upasana, which is the soul, that is when the Brahmabodham realization comes. Brahmabodha stage comes to a person. The Aham Brahmasmi stage happens at that point. Up to that point, we keep on executing our sadhana bhakti, isn't it? Sadhana, but what normally happens is, when these different steps in spiritual life is not taken seriously, sometimes we think, I've got the, now the mercy from my spiritual master has told me that you do this, everything will be okay, you'll go back and back to Godhead. Then what happens? The whole life you'll be doing what you have been told. Nothing has happened. And there are many, many people who have done like that throughout life, and at the end they are saying, I didn't get anything from this. They have cried like this. There are many, many people this has happened. Because whole life they executed what they were told. They were only taking instructions. They were just taking instructions. And sadhana bhakti, they said, you do this for the rest of their life. You do like this. So, we have done that, and at the end, while leaving the body, you are still feeling that you are where you started. All thing is that every day you spend 4 hours or 5 hours in all the sadhanas what you have done. So, time is precious in life. Time is not, there is not an unlimited time available for us in spiritual life also, like anything else. But majority people, what happens is, they settle for this. I am doing what I have been told. Let others say something whatever they want. I am not bothered. I will do what I have been told. If we take that attitude, then it will be difficult. Because once a person, he wanted to cross the Ganga River. Every day he crossed Ganga River. So he had a boat. And he used to row the boat in the early hours in the morning and get onto the other side before the sun comes out. So because he had to do some business there, he used to carry some goods with him and cross the Ganga River to the other side, from one side to the other. So, it happened this way, that in the night he ties the boat to some anchor, so that the boat doesn't flow off in the night. In the morning when he comes, he unties the boat and then he starts rowing, isn't it? But one particular day, he forgot to untie the boat. He sat into the boat and started rowing. Whole night he was, the few hours in the morning, he was rowing and rowing. And when the sunlight came out, he was still there where he was. And this will happen to our sadhana. This will happen to our sadhana. If we don't move along, if we can't do what we started our spiritual life with, we shouldn't think that that is the end of it. That is not the end of spiritual life. Spiritual life is always refreshing and ever growing. It cannot come to an end at all. As and when you hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, more and more understanding of Krishna's words should vibrate inside and develop a deeper understanding of the truth of the soul. Even now, after 30 years studying about the soul, people are asking, where is the soul in the body? They'll ask this question. Somebody says it's in the heart, somebody says it's in the head, somebody says it's somewhere else. So this question is coming up. What does it show? It shows that they have misunderstood the soul. Soul is not matter. It is not confined to time and space. These are limitations of the matter. Soul is not something which you can confine to a time or a space. This is why Krishna keeps on talking about the soul for chapter, verse after verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in order to give us some understanding what soul is like. If you try to, every time our mind works only through the matter, it can only go through matter. Everything should come into the box, otherwise it won't fit in with us. Isn't it? This has become our very nature like that. So what happens? Then everything, when we start reading about the soul also, you say, it must be somewhere sitting in the body, somewhere, where is it? Why doctors can't find it? If we start taking like this, what to do? What can be done? So the thing is this, that when the attention moves away from the sadhana, upasana, to the person who is doing the upasana, that is the soul, then he is moving towards the Brahman realization stage, not before that. So if we keep sadhana as the only goal in life, then spiritual progress may not happen at the end. It may not happen. And there should be, there is no point in feeling distressed over it later. People do take it like this. They take that, I have been given this instruction and I'll do this rest of my life. And whatever happens doesn't matter. Whoever says anything, don't care. Leave him alone. But if we take that understanding, what will happen is that at the end you will see like the boatman where you have started the journey. So it is, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna wants us to understand the science of the soul. It's not something Krishna has trying to entertain us or trying to tell us something which is completely senseless. It has all its own reasoning and logic behind it. And it is also our duty to side by side. Sadhana bhakti, I'm not denying that we should not, I'm not saying that we don't have to do sadhana. Sadhana bhakti must be done. It's a part of the process. But that itself is not the goal. This is the point. Sadhana bhakti is a part of the process. We have to execute sadhana bhakti. Without sadhana bhakti, there is no question of purification. Without purification, there is no question of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita properly. This will not happen. So sadhana bhakti should never be given up. Whatever we are doing, chanting the holy name, deity worship, all these things must go on along with the understanding of the soul as well, which is important. What Krishna has spoken here. So, all the Upanishads talks about this, like in that way. That, so, Brahmabhudam state is the state before Parabhakti comes, before Parabhakti happens to a person. So, all the external symptoms Krishna has not spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he mentioned about the important thing that the internal aspects of bhakti, the internal aspects of bhakti, Krishna has spoken. Now, as I was mentioning last Sunday, that we talked about people who have great enmity towards spiritually oriented people. Isn't it? We're discussing that before we finished the class last Sunday. So I mentioned there that the reason why they will make progress in spiritual life is that although they hate the sannyasis or the yogis or jnanis, because they hate so much, the hate develops inside very strongly. And the reason for that also I mentioned why that happens, because inside they want to become like this, but they are unable to do that. This is what happens to them. That inside, they want to become devotee. They know that what they are doing in their life is not satisfying to them, perfection them. Why is it like that? Because if you remember, If you take Krishna's words seriously, you will see Krishna knows about us better than what we know about us. Isn't it? Krishna says here, gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Name moksho na bandhanam. In other words, moksham and bandham, or bondage and liberation, Krishna says, exists in everyone. It exists in everyone. Has got this part of bondage and part of liberation inside a person. In everybody this exists. Sometimes we are liberated, sometimes we are in bondage, depending on our consciousness. When we are identifying with the false ego, we are in bondage. When we are identifying with the self, the soul, we are in liberated state. So these two things, you can't take it away from anyone. You can't take it away from anyone. Now, when a person is critical or offensive to Krishna, or offensive to devotees, or defensive to jnanis, what's actually happening is, inside this element of his liberation is inside there. Externally, he is throwing out his bondage outside. And the liberation part is staying inside. So even if he wants to throw it away, he can't do it. He cannot do it. It is there in him. By creation, Krishna has put these two things in each all of us. Every single person has got this element of bondage and element of liberation within himself. So even if he wants to throw it away, I'm going to be a demon from tomorrow and I'll blasphemy and criticize everyone in this world and I will live a life of an atheist, he won't be able to do it. Because inside that part sometimes starts working. That part of liberation starts working from inside. And that is when it becomes a conflict inside. He is trying to fight against that part which is inside him. He is trying to fight against that part which is the... It doesn't matter who it is. All these people whom you think that they are all big demons. That is why Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha and all, they went back. In three lifetimes they went back to the spiritual world, didn't they? They went back to the spiritual world in three lifetimes. And Kamsa went back in one life. And also you will see Shishubala, Dandavatra, so many personalities all going back to Krishna. And what did they do in their spiritual life? Nothing. If you look at Shishubala and Dandavatra, was he chanting Hare Krishna? Was he doing any deity worship? Only thing, as soon as they saw Krishna, the hate comes out straight away. And the hate came out so strongly that Krishna says, now you are ready, you can come back. You can come back to the spiritual world. Gopya Gamal, Bhayal Kamsa, Deshe Chaidyadayo Nruba, Sambandam, Rishna Yasnehal, Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira Maharaj this in the Saptamaskandam, in the 7th canto of Bhagavadam. So, because it is like that, nobody can say that I am not spiritual. Everybody is spiritual in this world. This is the first thing we have to recognize. We are classifying people based on our stupid mentality. We think that, oh, he's not spiritual, he's a materialist, I am spiritual. We judge on others, isn't it? That is a nonsense, because strictly speaking, everyone is spiritual in this world. These two things are in everyone, the spiritual side and the conditioned side, the baddham and mukti. They are in everybody. You can't take it away. We have been created. Once you've got a human body means you've got qualification to go back to the spiritual world as far as Krishna is concerned. You are qualified to go back, because this thing is already put in there. The seed is already there. So only the question is whether you allow that to grow or not. Instead, allow the other side to grow, the wrong side. So that is why it is said that when you go to any highly realized soul, if you go to them with all your problems of this world, as soon as you go there, you forget everything in his presence. Why does that happen? Because as soon as this realized soul sees you, he is only seeing you, your liberated side. Your liberation side alone he is seeing. He is not seeing your conditioned side. And because his vision falls on a person, immediately that liberation side wakes up. It starts coming out from the person. So with the result that all your other conditioning and all the other problems, what you wanted to discuss with him, they don't exist anymore. For realized souls, as far as they are concerned, everyone in this world is self-realized as far as they are concerned. Why? Their vision is like that. They are only seeing through their eyes in that way. They don't see everyone. Everyone is nonsense. They are all rubbish. I am the only one realized. They don't think like that. They are seeing in everyone only this liberated aspect of that person. The ajnanam is not there in them anymore. They can't see through ignorance anymore. Because as far as they are concerned, all the distress in this life, all the ignorance of this world actually doesn't exist for them. It doesn't exist for them. Through our mind and false ego, we have created all these things. So they have gone beyond all these things and they have reached that stage where they cannot see this anymore, what we are going through here. So that is the reason when we come to contact with a self-realized soul, and immediately the impact on us is we forget everything, whatever we went to speak to them, and then when we come out, the old thing catches up again. That is another story. We lose all that. But at least in the presence of that great personality, what happens? All, everything is forgotten. Everything is gone. Simply by the association of that great soul. So, Krishna says here, in the Bhagavad Gita also, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will say this, that anything that is external is not the changes that must happen. The changes must happen inside a person. Many instances you can notice this. We go to somebody and we wanted to say so many problems to him, what we have gone through our life, and seeking for a solution from that person. But when you go there, that person even doesn't want to discuss anything about it. He talks about something else, some other topics. Remember, I mentioned this before also. Many of the Mahatmas, if you go to see them, they will do two things to you. First thing, they will ask you whether you had prasadam or not. Because prasadam is the first thing, that your bodily needs are met. Then they will talk to you about the highest philosophy from the highest level. In between, whatever that is related to the mind and the senses, they won't discuss. They don't want to hear about it. Because as far as they are concerned, they don't exist. We have created it ourselves with our own ignorance. Basically, it's ignorance inside. And that ignorance won't go away by simply talking about it, about that ignorance. Talking about it won't go. That requires sadhana. That's where sadhana comes. Sadhana is necessary to come out of this ignorance, what we are going through. Identification with the senses and sense enjoyment, and identification with the body. And similarly, identification with the false ego. These are all the symptoms of the avidya. Symptoms of avidya. Once that avidya goes away, which is also a false thing. Avidya is not a real thing. It is a false thing, isn't it? Atmana vidyam sada veda vidvan avipalado nadu pipalada. He says there, isn't it? Avipalado nadu pipalada. Then Krishna says, avidyayam. Then, yuksadu nitya baddha. Vidyamayo yasadu nitya mukta. Avidya, one who has got it, he is nitya baddha. He is eternally conditioned. And vidyamayo yasadu nitya mukta. One who has got knowledge or vidya, he is eternally liberated also. So there itself, Krishna has given that judgment on this issue. So coming back to this, we were mentioning that the more one hates all these things, and what can happen to them in their next life is, because next life is not decided by what they want. There's a higher law controlling this. These rules are set by Krishna, not by us. So how I act here in this world will decide about my next life. If in this life, if I hate all spiritually advanced people, if I hate Krishna, if I hate everything related to spiritual life, then in next life, this feeling will become so strong inside that I have to accept a body in spiritual life. It's the result of that. I have to accept. I'll be forced to accept. In other words, I'll be the first person to take sannyasam then. Before everybody else, I'll be in the front with my danda in the hand, telling all of you to become sannyasis. This will happen because in last life, I have been doing this so strongly, more than you all did in serving Krishna. I was more serious about spiritual life by abusing, blaspheming, anything I liked. I did against all the sannyasis and yogis and jnanis and bhaktas, everything. Krishna says, all right, you have that body next life, you enjoy it. Now that you had it, these are the laws of the nature. Anything if you hate, anything if you love, more than excessively, it will come at the time of death in front of you. This is to, in order to speak that, Bhikshugita was spoken. We'll come to that later. Bhikshugita was spoken only for this purpose, to teach this one lesson to us. How important it is to withdraw the mind from this world and not to get anything attached to any side. Because all the people in this world, you can put them into these three columns, isn't it? The three columns. Friends, enemies, and those who are indifferent. Indifferent means with whom you have no particularly any relationship. Like you walk through the high street, you will see so many people, you don't have any relationship with them. But the other two, the friends and the enemies, they will cause the greatest problem. And among them, the enemies. Who is more powerful than the friend? That's why all these people, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha and all, they went back first before others got there. And Kamsa also. And similarly, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, all of them, they go back very quickly. Whereas others have to take a longer time to get back. Now, then the question will come, why don't we go in that direction? Isn't it? We'll ask that question, because if it is such a quick process, and it is an easier process also, isn't it? You don't have to get up in the morning, you don't have to chant the holy name, you don't have to go to the temple. All you have to do is to sit and write email after email to all the websites in the world, that how nonsense they are. And if you do like that, then the next life you become saffron. Saffron clothes, you get it. So, Krishna's point is, this is the beauty of the spiritual life. You cannot withdraw from this. You cannot do it because Krishna has created us in this way. One part is the realized state, mukti state. And the other side is the bondage state. Mukti and bondage are in the same person, existing at the same time. Both are there in one person at the same time. That is what was baffling Uddhava. Uddhava asked this question. Krishna, I cannot understand this. How can this exist in one person at the same time? Krishna says it does exist. So, Krishna points out this one point to Arjuna Uddhava and says to him that more and more one keeps on insulting the anybody in this world or anyone in that way, eventually he'll become that. He will become that. That this spirituality is in everybody. And I cannot throw it away, you cannot throw it away. It is in us, all of us. And when our attention is in the body and in our individual false ego, at that point we are in bondage. At that point we are in bondage. When the attention is in the body and the attention is in the false ego, identification is with the false ego, then we are in bondage. When the attention is shifted towards our identity, Atma, or the soul, Krishna says there, then you are liberated. Then you are liberated. And it is that verse in the Bhagavatam, which if you remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a long purport on that, which is that, Atma ramaschamunayo nirgrandha abhi urukrami kurvandi ahai tugim bhaktim ittham bhuta guno hari. Then Atmaraman means one who is in the spiritual platform as a soul, identifying completely with the soul, nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the body, completely absorbed in the soul all the time. They are the people, Krishna, Sudeva Goswami says there in the Bhagavatam, Nirgrandi Atmaramaschamunayo Nirgrandavi Urukrame Kurvandi Ahaitugim Bhaktim. Their grandhi has broken. What is that grandhi? This connection with the body has broken completely. Bodily identity is completely broken. In other words, although we said before, dehastobi na dehastha. They are in the body, but they are not in that body. That's their situation. So, nirgrandha abhiurukrame, what do they do? Kurvandi ahaidugim bhaktim. That they are engaged in that self-realization and service to Krishna at that time. Ittam bhuta guno hari. It says that they are attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities. We are not attracted by transcendental qualities of Krishna. We read all these things, but how much attraction have we got? But they, having come to that platform of the Atmarama stage, when they are identifying completely on a spiritual platform, that is when one gets attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities. So, strictly speaking, we call people, oh, somebody is materialist, somebody is spiritualist and all that. Actually, there is, from the eyes of the jnanis, there is no one who is a materialist. There is no, we can't be materialist. It's not possible. Because as long as this part is inside, you can take anybody in this world. People may not practice spiritual life. That is another thing. They may not practice spiritual life. They may not engage in anything. But the fact remains that inside, this element of liberation does exist within them also. It is due to various anarthams they have created that they have to fall into that category. Just like you can't show the sun darkness, isn't it? You can't take the sun somewhere and show him where the darkness is. It's not possible. Sun cannot see darkness anywhere. Wherever sun goes, there is brightness. So in the same way, the distress and the ignorance that is within us, if you take all that and try to show it to the jnani, jnani cannot see it. Because for him, there is no such thing as distress. For him, there is no such thing as ignorance in him. So he can't see anything in us. Because he cannot see it himself, you cannot show it to him. It is just like the sun and the darkness, example. If you bring the sun, or if you take the darkness to the sun and ask the sun to look at it, he can't see darkness anywhere. Similarly, a self-realized soul or a jnani who is sitting somewhere, you go to him with all your problems of this life and distress and unhappiness in this world, he cannot see anything because he is only seeing jnanis everywhere. All are realized as far as he is concerned. He is rejecting because he only accepts that liberation element from the person. He only accepts the, because as in his eyes, everyone is a jnani. Everyone is a jnani. He only sees like that. He cannot see the other side of the person. So, all the other things like ignorance and distress, they are not real as far as he is concerned. They are not real anymore. Therefore, his vision has got a higher power. Because his vision is much more higher power. Amrita Drishti it's called. Amrita Drishti means his very vision itself is, he is not seeing anything wrong in anyone. You can imagine a person, we look at everything through our vasanas, isn't it? Remember, when we were discussing Bhagavad Gita, we mentioned that. Arjuna came, Arjuna saw all those who were standing there through his vasanas. Oh, they are my relatives, my spiritual master, my grandfather, my this, my that. That is a vasanas inside, through which Arjuna saw them. Arjuna was affected. Similarly, when we see this world, through our vasanas we see this world. Isn't it? Through our vasanas, we see this world and we make the different judgments. Somebody is corrupt, somebody is honest, somebody is angry, somebody is envious, somebody is something else. All different qualities we impose on a person based on the vasanas inside us. So the point here is, because jnanis have no vasanas inside, they have no vasanas, when they see anyone, they don't see anything wrong in anyone. They see he is another person who is going to be realized, who is in realized state. That's how he is seeing everyone. So for a jnani, these things don't exist. Which one? The distress or the ignorance. Neither of them exist as far as he is concerned. And we are thinking that he will solve our problems and we go to him with all our big list of problems. So Krishna says here that when somebody gets an opportunity to associate with a realized soul like that, what will happen is immediately our self-realization comes out. Within ourselves, we start realizing the truth is something different than what we have thought about it. And it is that when it starts waking up, our real personality, what we are, which is the soul, will wake up. And the result of that will be shanti, peace, and anandam, happiness will come out automatically without any endeavor. Without any endeavor. Simply by the association with the realized soul. This will happen. Then, so, Krishna says here, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, we have to discuss these three chapters a little bit more depth. Because 13th chapter, otherwise we will not get it. we'll find it completely difficult chapter to understand. Understand means to follow up. So Krishna said in the earlier chapter, that was in the 11th chapter, if we look in the second verse, in the 11th chapter, Krishna said there, this one important thing, Shogam moham sugham dukham. Shogam moham sugham dukham dehavatischa mayaya. Dehavatischa mayaya. Swapnam yadhatmana khyadir samsardir natu vastavi. That is a very, very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Shogam moham sugham dukham dehavatischa mayaya. Swapnam yadhatmana khyadir samsardir natu vastavi. Krishna says there. What does it mean? Shogam, moham, anchoring, lamentation. Sukham, dukham, happiness and distress. Deha batischa mayaya. It just happens to the body. It happens to the body. So, and then he says, deha batischa. The body itself doesn't exist. Body itself has no reality as far as Krishna is concerned. This material body whom we identify with, as far as Krishna's point of view, it has no reality. Deha batischa maya. It is only a product of maya, material nature. Through three modes of material nature, and Prakriti has created this body for us. I don't know whether you get this point. This is an important point. We are always identified with the body so strongly that we can't even imagine that this body is it has no reality. We say, oh, it is existing now. At least 80 years it's existing or 60 years existing. Krishna says, Deha Patischa Maya, body is not existing. From Krishna's point of view, body doesn't exist. This body has no existence. This is an important realization in the Ekadasha Skandam. He says there, if the body is not existing, what meaning has it got for all the other things, Krishna says? Shogam, moham, sukham, dukham. Because they are all based on this body. Isn't it? Shogam, moham, sukham, dukham. Deha patischa maya. Swapnam yad atmana khyadir samsradir natu vastavi. And he gives the example to make us understand this, that when you wake up from the dream state, when you come to the vacant state, as soon as you come back to the vacant state, all that dream what you are going through in the night is not real anymore. Isn't it? Not at all real anymore. Does anyone wake up in the morning and start thinking about what he has dreamt the whole night? Nobody does that. Sometimes you may have a little, for a few seconds or so, you may try to think about it. But afterwards, you don't keep record of all your dreams, do you? In such and such a day, I dreamt such and such a thing. Sometimes people make some amazing statements about their dreams. It's nice to hear that, how they were dreaming all the time with the deities and all the time with Krishna and Radharani and all that. And if it happens, it's good. But the important thing is that Krishna is saying here, when you wake up from that dream, it's not real for you anymore. Isn't it? It's not a real thing. What is that? Deha patischa maya. Swapno yad atmana khyadi. That once you come out of that, it is not a real thing. Similarly, Krishna says here, samsaradir nadu vastavi. This samsara material existence also is not vastavam. It's not truth. It's not a truth. So if you hold on to this verse all the time, it will help us to move out of this maya to some extent. After all, if you have faith in Krishna's words, even though temporarily you may get disturbed over so many things in this world, if this basic thing, what Krishna is saying here, that samsaradir nadu vastavi, it is not vastavam, it is not the truth, Uddhava, he says to Uddhava this, that body doesn't exist. That is the first instructions to the body doesn't exist. Not only that, distress, happiness, hankering, lamentation, and all the other things associated with the body also doesn't exist. Also doesn't exist. This is a very high understanding or realization what Krishna is talking about. It may not be possible to bring that into our practical life immediately. It is not possible. But the truth has to be spoken, and that's what Krishna has done. Krishna has spoken the truth, samsradir nadu vastavi, it is not vastavam, it is not truth. Then, Krishna is saying here, just like in the dream state when you came back to the vacant state, how it was not at all real for you, Similarly, when you wake up from this state of existence, what we are now in the jagrat state, what in the vacant state, what you consider as real will also won't be real anymore once you come to the realized state, once you come to the self-realized state. That now, what is the difference between the vacant state and the dream state? That's also important thing to understand. In the dream state, the only thing that is functioning is the mind. Only thing that is functioning is the mind. And because there is only the mind that is functioning in the dream state, you cannot acquire spiritual knowledge in the dream state. You cannot acquire spiritual knowledge in the dream state. It's not possible. Because the only thing what you have at that time is the mind. Mind is the only tool that's operating in the dream state, is the mind. In the jagrat state, there is material nature, prakriti is there. Along with that, there is a small part of chitta. Chitta means, you remember, satya, chitta, anandam. Out of that chitta aspect, which means the consciousness aspect, Radharani's role is in us in the vacant state. In the vacant state, that is present. And because the vacant state, the chit potency is there, we can use the vacant state to develop spiritually, to get closer to the truth. This is the advantage of vacant state over the dream state. In the dream state, you can't do that because you only have got the mind, nothing else. The chit potency is not there in the dream state. Satya, Chitta, Anandam, isn't it? The three attributes of the soul. Now, out of these three, the chit potency is important because it is through chit potency we have what we know as the consciousness is developed. It's the consciousness is chit potency. So, Sachidanandam, Sat is eternal. One is the blissful nature, Anandam, and Chitta, the third one, knowledge, isn't it? Eternal, blissful, knowledge, three things. Eternal is the sat potency, and anandam is the blissful nature, and chit is the knowledge. That's clear, isn't it? Satya, chitta, anandam, sachidanandam. Satya, chitta, anandam. Sat is the eternal nature of the soul, that it always exists. Nasade vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam, sthanayor tatu darshivi. That sat potency is confirmed. Sat is always in relationship with the soul. Then, blissful nature, anandam, is the nature of the soul. Anandamayo bhyasad, it says, isn't it? So, anandamayam is the nature of the soul, is always blissful. And the third thing, which is not the chit potency, which is called the chit, or is that potency, which is what is known as the knowledge, we call it in English. You can also call it as the consciousness, through which you are conscious of so many things in this creation. You are conscious of yourself because of the chit potency. Always you say, oh, I am existing. I am not going there. I am going here. I am doing this. I am doing this. Where is this I am coming from? It's coming from the chit potency. Although it is identified with the false ego while speaking, that capacity to identify with the false ego is also coming from chit potency. It is only due to the presence of chit in us that we are identifying with the soul or identifying with the false ego. False ego means wrongly identified, and identification with the soul means correctly identified. That's all. But this identification or bodham, the word used is bodham, conscious of something, my consciousness or I'm being conscious of something is the chit potency. Now this chit potency is present in the jagrat state along with the material nature's influence on us, the modes of nature. And because this chit potency is present in us, using that chit potency, we can grow towards the self-realization state. That is the advantage of having the jagrat state over the dream state. That's the advantage of having. This is why we say self-realization is not possible in the dream state. It's only possible to achieve in the vacant state. It's only possible in the vacant state to do it. To practice it. So in the presence of, if our attention is taken away from prakriti, from material nature, and if it is shifted towards the chit, we are right now liberated. We are right now liberated. The only thing is, we have not succeeded in doing that. Our attention is always centered around the prakriti or material nature. So that is the soul. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. That when our attention is withdrawn from the world outside, from the matter, and it is shifted towards the consciousness or the soul or the chit, as it is referred to. Out of these three attributes of the soul, Satya, Chitta and Anandam, this chit potency is the most important one. Because it is through the chit potency that we get out of this material existence. Isn't it? Satya and Anandam happens to the soul in its pure form. It happens. We may not realize the eternity of the soul. We may not experience the blissfulness of the soul. But we will experience through our consciousness this knowledge. The self-realization is actually this chit potency. Realization of the chit. Chit Shakti, it is called. Sometimes different names are used. Sometimes it is called as Chit Shakti. Sometimes it's called as, there's a word used, Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is another word used in the Bhagavatam. Different names will be used, but as long as we understand that it is this Chit potency that is the most important thing that helps us to go towards the self-realization. And this is the reason why we say we should approach Srimati Radharani. For this reason. Because she is the controlling force of this chit potency. And that is the reason Radharani is approached for self-realization also. It also happens by Radharani's mercy. So Krishna says here that if it is like that, if we look into the material nature, there is plenty of problems there. Material nature, if you look into material nature, there is plenty of problems. And that problem will be there, Krishna says. And if you want to come out of this problem, Krishna says there is only one solution. And that is what is spoken in the 13th chapter. I'll be going back and forth different verses. If you look into the 13th chapter, in the 35 verse, Krishna gives the solution to the problem. Verse 35. In the 13th chapter. What does he say like that there? He says there that the it's a big verse. Krishna says, Drishtim tada pratinivartya nivartya trishna toshnim bhaven jasukhanu bhavo niriha samdrishyade kojayadidam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhavel smritirani padad. It's a very, very important verse in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna says, Drishtim tada pratinivartya nivartya trishna toshnim bhaven jasukhanu bhavo niriha samdrishyade kojayadidam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhavel smritirani padad. Drishtim tada pratinivartya. That the only thing what you can do is to take your attention from that. Take your attention from that. Say you are traveling by train. You reach one railway station and the train has stopped. You are sitting in the train which has stopped. On the next line, other side, there is another train which comes and stops there. Parallel to this, another one stops there. When that train starts moving, what happens? You feel as though you are moving, isn't it? If you keep looking at the other side train, often it happens, isn't it? I'm sure everybody has experienced this. That as you look in the other side, you see that train is moving and you start thinking, my train started moving, you think. And when you look from there to this side, you think the platform is still there. You haven't left the platform. You all have experienced that. So that is the solution to this problem, Krishna says. That if you don't want to feel, want to know the reality, you don't look that side, you look this side. Krishna says, if you look that side, you will feel you are moving. But if you look this side, you will know the reality, you are standing there. That is what is this drishtim tada pratinivartya nivartya trishna. That's what that line is talking about. Nustushnim bhave nija sukhani bhavo niriha samdrashyade kuja yadidam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhavel smritirani padad. I'll just read what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says about this verse. In this verse, he mentions about this in the Bhagavadam, in this commentary on this verse. He says, the translation, I'll read it first. With the understanding, of the temporary and illusory nature of the material world, and having pulled one's vision away from illusion, you should remain free from desires for material enjoyment. By experiencing the happiness of the soul, you should give up material speaking and activities. You should refrain from material speaking and activities. So, normally we think that we have to make jokes, isn't it? And make humor. That is, won't help in self-realization. That's what Krishna is saying. That when we talk anything unnecessary, our attention, who talks? The false ego talks. The false ego talks. So whenever we discuss about anything on the platform of false ego, Krishna says, then your attention has gone into the wrong place. Can you imagine how careful we have to be while dealing with this world? That drishtim tada pratinivartya nivrta trishna tushnim bhaven nijasukhanam bhavo niriha. Then, even if you must be involved in material activities, like eating, you should remember that it is not ultimate reality. Even eating is not a reality as far as Krishna is concerned. Can you imagine we saying this to somebody, hey, eating is not a reality? To such an extent, one has to free oneself from the grip of material nature. That's what it is saying. You can see this. All the great devotees, whether it is the Goswamis in Vrindavanam, how they have withdrawn from all the bodily activities. This is what it is. Gorkishore Das Babaji's life, if you look, how withdrew himself from even eating. Days together without food. Why? This realization has come to him. And that is why he's saying here, even if you must be involved in material activities, eating is considered to be a material activity. Remember that. Eating is not a spiritual activity. But you may justify it in the name of prasadam. That is another thing. That, oh, it's prasadam, so I'll eat a lot and I'll become self-realized. It won't happen. All those who are self-realized, they came out of eating at the end. They had enough of this eating business. That's why we say this cooking eating has to be restricted. It should not expand. If you keep on expanding that, then this will not happen. It will stay like the sadhana bhakti there. That is also part of sadhana bhakti, taking prasadam. But if you keep thinking, I'm taking prasadam, that's my whole purpose of life, eating prasadam only. It's a whole life. These words won't fit in there. We'll have to take these words out of Bhagavatam then. So, what I'm saying is that unless we grow spiritually and we start changing our life in a way, what Krishna has told us to do, and give less importance to things which are not important in spiritual life, we are not going to understand this Ekadasha Skandam. Then we may finish with 10th canto and stop it there. In Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is telling us, the demands for the body, that does not mean that you have to keep on fasting day after day. No, through knowledge and realization it should happen in a person, not otherwise. Not simply forcefully forcing the body not to eat and forcing the body not to sleep and then struggle against that. That is no use. But through realizations it must happen. And realization will only come when we take these instructions from Krishna very seriously. All what Krishna has spoken here. So, drishtim tada pratinivartya nivrta trishnal tushnim. Tushnim bhaven nijasukhanu bhavo niriham. Krishna says here, you should remember that it is not the ultimate reality and that you have renounced it. By constantly living in this way, right up to the point of death, you will not again fall into illusion. So, through realizations, that is why this Hamsa Gita, what we are going to discuss, He is expecting all these things from us. These, if it has to become a realization for us, these are the instructions in Hamsagita. It's a part of Hamsagita, this thing. Drishtim dada pradanivartya nivartya trishnals tushnim bhavil nijasughanibhavo niriha sandrishyade kvajayadidam avastu buddhya tyaktvam brahmaya brahmayana bhavil smridir anipatan. Now, I'll read the commentary on this from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He says here, because the visible material world is illusory and thus miserable, you should withdraw your vision from it and give up all desires for sense gratification. You should curtail material activities and talks of material objects, subjects. You should simply take pleasure in the self within, knowing that this will free you from material bondage. Now, the question may arise, it is impossible for an embodied soul to remain free from dealing with the external world, and so will never become freed from material existence. The answer is, even while performing activities of the material body, such as eating, this will not be the cause of illusion if one has given up the material conception of life with the help of his intelligence. Therefore, until one gives up his body, at the time of death, one should continue to treat material objects with a mood of detachment. So, you can see here that there is no other way to become spiritual. Self-realization won't happen by any other easy process. Self-realization, Krishna says there, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti purifies the heart inside. Vairagyam develops this understanding inside, what is spiritual and what is material. So, this drishtim tada pratinivartya nivartya trishna, that all the desires has to be closed once for all. Not allow them to wake up inside. And Krishna says here, in the Ekadashi Skandam, while coming to this particular point, Krishna says that drishti, or drishti means our vision, pratinivartya nivartya trishna, that it should withdraw from even sensual desires. What's happening, that should not occur inside. Not going and desiring after something, such desires should not develop inside in the first instance. The desires even should not develop inside. In other words, Krishna says here, just withdraw your vision from the world outside and sit quietly. That's all he is asking us to do. Not allowing the continuous thoughts coming through the mind to engage in one thing or the other all the time. This all must come to a stop. So, so that when it starts turning towards in that direction, Krishna says that your spiritual life will start waking up. Your spiritual start will start, development will start happening. So if you look back, you will see in the 11th chapter, 10th verse, how Krishna has connected these two things together. In the 11th chapter, 10th verse, Krishna says there, what does Krishna say? Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. There is a verse like that. Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. That verse. Vartamano abudastatra kartasmedi nibhadyade. Krishna says, Devadhine sharirasmin. This body has happened and because of prarabdham. Isn't it? Devadhinam. Devam here means prarabdham. This has come to you because of prarabdham. It is that the karma what you have executed in the previous life has resulted in this body. It has happened. Krishna speaks completely from a spiritual position. You have to remember that all the time. Totally situated on the platform of the soul he is speaking. He is not speaking from a bodily level. And that is why when we go through these verses, you must always remember this in your own thoughts, that this is coming from the spiritual platform, these instructions. That's why Krishna is saying here, Devadhine sharirasmin. You got this. Remember, Uddhava said to Krishna, there is nobody more qualified than you to talk about this. Why? Because you are the only person who can be in that platform of the soul, like Krishna is. Always. Always on the platform of the soul. Therefore, there is no one else to instruct the science of the soul except you. Uddhava said that too in the beginning to Krishna, isn't it? So, you have to remember, it is in that background, Krishna is speaking all these things. So, if we start taking that, Krishna is speaking from a bodily level, it will not make any sense, isn't it? ദൈവാധീനെ ശരീരസ്മിൻ ഗുണഭാവേന കർമ്മണ ദാറ്റ് ഗുണഭാവേന കർമ്മണ ഓൺലി ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ വിച്ച് ഈസ് എ മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ദിസ് ബോഡി ആൻഡ് ഗിവൺ ഇറ്റ് ടു യു ആൻഡ് വർത്തമാനോ അബുദസ്തത്ര കർത്താസ്മീതി നിബദ്ധ്യതയും ദൻ വാട്ട് ഹസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ദ റിസൾട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വർത്തമാനോ അബുദസ്തത്ര കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ that one who does not know these things, that this body was given to him by the material nature, what will he do? Kartasmiti nibhadyade. He gets caught up in this thought that I am doing everything. If we have accepted that material nature has put this body on us, this dress on us, and told us to go and play your role in this world, if you accept it like that, you know that you are not doing it. You will be freed from that illusion. That is the point. വർത്തമാനോ അബുദസ്തത്ര കർത്താസ്മീതി നിബദ്ധ്യതേ യു വിൽ നോട്ട് തിങ്ക് എനി മോർ ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ് ദിസ് സംഹോ ദി ബോഡി ഹസ് കം ടു മീ ആൻഡ് ഐ എം പുട്ട് അണ്ടർ പ്രഷർ അണ്ടർ ദ ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ ബോഡി ടു ആക്ട് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ആൻഡ് യു വിൽ വിഡ്രോ ഫ്രം ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ആൻഡ് യുവർ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി വിത്ത് ദി മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി വിൽ ഗോ എവേ അതർവൈസ് ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി വിൽ നെവർ ഗോ എവേ ഇഫ് യു സ്റ്റാർട്ട് തിങ്കിങ് ദൻ ഐ എം ദിസ് ബോഡി ഇസ് ബോഡി ഇസ് മൈൻ ആൻഡ് ഐ എം ഗോയിങ് ടു ദിസ് ബോഡി വിൽ ബി ഓഫ് യൂസ് ടു മീ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ഇഫ് യു കീപ് ഓൺ എക്സ്പാൻഡിങ് അവർ ലൈഫ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് This realization will never come. This realization will never come. That's why Krishna is saying here, Daivadine sharirasmin gunabhavena karmana vartamanosmi abudatatra kartasmiti nibhadyade. Krishna says, he will be continuously caught up in this identity with the body. With the identity with the body. How important, beautiful verses are these in the Bhagavadam. How can anyone without these verses understand Krishna's instructions? Hold the message while leaving this planet. Krishna speaks to Uddhava all these things. So, what does the ignorant person do? This material body, what we have got is Daivadhine Sharirasmin. It is a Prarabdha Shariram. It's called Prarabdham has brought this body to us. And it is not something to be very proud of, this body. And sometimes what the devotees do, they go to gym to develop this body. So what is understanding of spiritual life there? Imagine this. So much attached to the body that he thinks that, they say that for devotional service I need this body. I need the body for my devotional service. This is the answer to the question. So if we start have a conversation with Krishna, we tell Krishna, Krishna, I got gym membership in the Lloyd's Labor or wherever it is, whichever the best one, and I paid so much now. So Krishna will say, well, carry on with your body as long as you want. Daivadhine sharirasmin gunabhavena karmana. That vartamano abudastatra kartasmiti nibhadyade. If you want to free yourself from the bodily identity, Krishna says, accept these things as it is, without any further discussion about it. There is no discussion needed. Krishna is telling us, what are we, our problems? Our problems is created mainly because of the identification with the body. So unless this identification goes away, Krishna says there is no point in talking further after that. So a devotee also, as far as Krishna is concerned, he has to handle the body in such a way that as long as it is helpful, utilize it. Once it's not helpful, you have to learn to throw it away also, because afterwards it's of no use to you anyway. Can you do anything with the body after it has served its work in duty in this world? So with this understanding, Krishna says, live in this world. That's the point. That body has been given to you, utilize it if you find it useful in any way. If you're not finding it useful, Krishna says, you have nothing to regret about it. That's the attitude of a devotee and a jnani. Their attitude is like that towards the body. They don't go for every 3 months for a treatment and beauty up the body and make it perfect. You know, it's no use at the end. As far as Krishna is concerned, Devadhina Sharirasmin. Body has come to you. Prarabdham has brought it to you in front of you. Gunabhavena Karmana. Material nature is behind it and your karma. And Vartamano Abudastatra Kartasmiti Nibhadyade. One who has understood this, he will know that he is not doing it. The body is doing everything and he will keep away from the body. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, this material body, if you analyze this, your own body, that is why in the 13th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts analysis with the body itself first, isn't it? In the 13th chapter, Pratim Purusham Jaiva Kshetram Kshetrajnam Evaja. He discusses about Kshetram first, not Kshetrajnam. First he talks about Kshetram. Kshetram means this body. This body. He says here that that actually nobody knows what this body is. Nobody understands this body. Really, no one understands this body. You may think that we understand, we don't understand this body. Does the scientists understand? They also don't understand this body. Strictly speaking, nobody understands this body. How it has come about, how it came into existence, how it is living in this world, and how it is eventually leaving us. Something happens and a body comes out. Something happens and a body comes out. And therefore, even the science is not acceptable, never be perfect. Science also doesn't have any clue about this body. They may say so many things. They may write so many presents, so many papers, Nobel Prize, this, that and the other. They'll give everything. Can any scientist blind, very clearly explain to us what this body is about? Why this has come into existence? If it was like that, they should have been, when the body goes into difficulties, they should be able to fix it. They are not able to do it. That is a clear proof that they also don't understand the body. If they understand the body, they should be able to do it or something about it. But they are unable to do it. The fact remains. So that's a clear proof that they also don't understand this body. So nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. The only thing I mentioned before, that the even part of the Vedas, Upavedas, it's called the Upangams, even they are not perfect. Nothing is perfect except the soul. The soul is the only thing that is perfect. Because all other things are remaining within the field of material nature. Within the field of material nature. So, another thing is that all the other subjects you are trying to understand with intelligence. For example, the the six things I mentioned, Shiksha, Vyakaranam, Chandasa, Niruktam, Jyotisham, Kalpam. These are the six Upangas called in the mentioned in the as the Upangams of the Shastram. Now, even there, and including your medical science, everything is learned through intelligence, isn't it? Intelligence is what you require to learn that. Now, even our intelligence is not perfect itself, isn't it? Because even this intelligence is in the grip of Maya. Is in the grip of Maya. And because intelligence is in the grip of Maya, whatever we do inside this field of Maya, Krishna says, you can never attain perfection in this present state. It's not possible in relationship with the body. So in other words, the only message Krishna wants to tell us is this, that if you are looking for perfection in life, in any field, you can forget it, except in the field of spiritual life. Spiritual life is the only field where eventually you will become perfect. You can attain perfection. Not possible in any other field, even related to the body, mind, intelligence, senses, or any other thing relationship with the matter. It is not possible to become perfect. And number one, as long as we take shelter of any of these things, eventually it will be disappointment. That is another thing. And this is the reason in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, after discussing Ekadasha Skandam, Sukadeva Goswami brings one important canto afterwards, the 12th canto. What is it called? It's called Ashrayam, isn't it? Ashrayam means taking shelter. Ashrayam means taking shelter. Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manyundaram, Ishanikotha, Nirodham. Nirodham is the 10th canto. 11th canto is Mukti. And 12th canto is Ashrayam. Isn't it? So here, the 11th canto is talking about Mukti. 11th canto is talking about Mukti. Mukti means liberation. And after liberation, is there something else to do? That question will come. And that is where ashrayam is discussed. What is that? Ashrayam means the only thing one should take shelter is the soul and nothing else. That is that whole 12th canto is all about. That everything else in this world except the soul, if you take shelter, you will be eventually disappointed. Either they will leave you or you have to leave them. But if you perfect your life through Ekadasya Skandham, come to a liberated state, and then after that, the only thing what one has to do, Krishna says there, Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, is the English Bhagavadam gives the title as Sammam Bonam. I think that's what is mentioned there, the 12th time. But the Bhagavadam title is Ashrayam. Ashrayam means taking shelter. What should one take shelter of? Take shelter of the soul. Soul is nothing but Krishna. So, in order to bring us to this point of shelter, of staking the soul, Sudeva Goswami had to speak all the 11 cantos before. And after the 11th canto, in the 12th canto, this is the only thing that is discussed. There's nothing else worth taking shelter of in this world. If you take shelter of your own body, you will be cheated one day. If you take shelter of your bank balance, you will be cheated one day. If you take shelter of your relatives, then you'll be cheated one day. If you take shelter of your community, society, you'll be cheated one day. If you take shelter of your country, you'll be cheated one day. Where do you find the shelter? Except in the soul. This is the question Bhagavadam is asking us at the end. And this is why it says there that Bhave Bhave Yatha Bhakti Padayo Stava Jayade Tatha Kurishva Devesha Nadastunno Yatha Prabho. That this addressing Krishna in this way, that the final shelter, ultimate shelter, is Krishna and the soul. Krishna is that soul in everyone present. So through Bhagavadam, we have been given this understanding that body should not be trusted. Body should never be trusted. When it will cheat us, we can never say that. We can never say that. And some strange thing this body is, isn't it? It's some strange thing. Then it is an amazing thing it stands in this material nature like this for a certain period of time. And in between, so many things happen with this body. And when you start thinking about it, you don't understand anything, what is happening to the body, isn't it? Sometimes it gets fat, sometimes it gets thin. And all the time you're trying to control this body as much as possible. So sometimes you are very energetic. When you are a child, you have a lot of energy to run around, do various things. But when you are 60 years old, if you want the same energy, will it happen? It won't be there, would it? It's gone. That is not going to happen to you anymore. You are trying again, jogging and bodybuilding and gym and all that, trying to do it, but it doesn't work. The only thing you are thinking, but you are eventually accepting the reality that and after some time, you become weak, body becomes useless, you become very finished and weakened, and eventually you leave this body. Without asking us, it goes. Without asking us, it goes. So, so Krishna says here, kartasmi, a word Krishna has used there, isn't it? Kartasmi da nibhadyade. Kartasmi means that kartasmi is nothing but, in Shastram the word used is asakti. Asakti means excessive attachment to something which actually is not a reality. So asakti can happen to us. All the time it is very strongly, deeply rooted in us. And this asakti then it will come to us in the form like this. I am doing this, it's me who is doing all these things. It is my activity that is keeping this body going. Somehow we put a lot of faith in our own ability in maintaining this body. Ability in maintaining this very body, we put a lot of faith in it, in our own ability. But fact remains that without asking you anything, the body will say goodbye to you one day. They won't ask your permission whether you can go or not. So you have to see all these things the way Krishna has spoken. We have to come out of our conditioning thinking that body I will maintain through my medical insurance and all other things. No, that is only done in this world to keep the world going. So many people are employed also, it keeps us that way. But apart from that, vartamano abhudostatra kartasmidi nibhadyade. That is the proper understanding of Krishna. Ekadasya Skandham will give us a lot of different way to look at things. And if this realization little bit goes inside, even a little bit, if it goes inside, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, at least it will shift our attention from the body to the soul. And that is the only thing what Krishna wants us to do. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayat. This is that what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. So, this in order to create this understanding is meditation. Meditation is not something what we stand, sit there and meditating. Oh, Krishna will come in front of me now with a four-handed form, conchal disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand when I'm going to see Krishna. No, that meditation may not happen very easily. That is a different thing. Actual meditation is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam. If you meditate on these thoughts, what Krishna has spoken, and if these thoughts start affecting us, and we start seeing the truth, the realized truth of the soul, soul's existence, and our identity with the soul, that is for which the meditation is recommended. Meditation is not something, we have this misunderstanding. Sometimes people are very funny. They will say, oh, don't phone me up in the morning. I'll be doing meditation for an hour between 7 and 8. Or between 4 and 6 in the evening. Once one person gave me one visiting card. On that it was printed on the back side. Meditation hours 7 to 8 in the morning and evening 4 to 6. So I understood the message that you should not phone him at that time, that I won't be available. He was telling me in an indirect way by saying like this, isn't it? So he gave me the card, I understood. Oh, he showing the other side, he gave it to me, not the right side. So I got the message that he doesn't want to be disturbed at that time. So these meditations won't work. These meditations won't work. They will spend a lot of time, whole life, hours. After a while, they'll also get tired and they'll fall asleep. So this is the reality. So these kind of things, processes, does not work. We have to chant the holy name. That is Bhagavatam is asking us to do. We have to purify our existence inside. When we get purified, what Krishna has spoken in Ekadasi Skandam and in the Bhagavad Gita, we will understand. Understand means it will start working. Whatever we are hearing now, it will go and stay there. It may not start operating straight away. But with the sadhana bhakti, when we purify ourselves and our consciousness gets purified, these things, what is already lying there, it will start slowly waking up inside. And that will be the time when you can understand what Krishna is saying. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll start Bhagavadam in December, the first Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.